Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis, so it's time to put our full hearts into this and to begin once again with the Mishnah that we just started yesterday on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Perek Shlishi B'Sha'a Tova. So all of the psulim that we listed before, and we had a long list in the Mishnah before, benogel of the other avodas, do not apply to shechita, because shechita is kshera bezarim uvnashim ubeavadim ubetmeim. It doesn't matter. Of course, the Tamei can't be in the Beis HaMikdash, but he could have a long knife, and he could be standing outside the Beis HaMikdash and be shechting in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's no limit on the shechita with all of the psulim. Even kachei kachim who require tefillin are kosher, nonetheless, the shechita, despite the increased demands of tefillin, there's no increased demands of kedusha of the shechit. Bavad, of course, the Tameim, we have to be very careful. Bavad shalo yu Tameim no gim lo basar. So these Tameim, they can't be Tameim mate, because then if they hold a knife, the knife will become Tamei, because then the knife is Mekabel Tuma as a Kli from an Avatuma. Or they could be, even if they are Tamei mate, if they don't use a knife, but they use something that's not Mekabel Tuma. Let's say they take a very sharp piece of bamboo, sharpen it up, and then they could use that to do the shechita, and then it would not be makabel tuma. So either they could be referring to a non-tamei mate, and he's using a long knife, or to a tamei mate, even, who would be using a long non-kli. So it's just very important to make sure that the tameim don't touch the basar, because that would puzzle it. But since all of these people are kosher to do the shechita, they are also able to passel the korban b'machshava. And therefore, because they're kosher, all of them actually will passel b'machshava. That looks like Dr. Barry, who we haven't seen in 3 whole days. We have to welcome him with great shouts of joy. So now let's move on to, we started the new perek, Dr. Barry, so join us. And we're right at the top of the daf of the heart, which is perfect, because after all, we just finished Kol Yisrael with the Lamed, and we're starting Bereishis, so it definitely fits the daf Yomi to a T. Kibel HaKasher. And so, sorry, V'kulam shekiblu et adam, chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mekomo. If, however, a puzzle would have done the Kabbalah, so then there is no Kabbalah at all. And it wouldn't matter if they had any type of machshava with chutzes manu chutz mekomo, because there's no Kabbalah. Kabbalah with a puzzle is not Kabbalah. And therefore, as we saw earlier, im yesh dam ha-nefesh, yachzor ha-kasher v'yikabel. If there's still dam ha-nefesh left, then we would be able to go back, have a kosher coin be makabel, and he would then be able to once again bring dam to the zrika. You remember that this was a conversation we had earlier in the Masechet, and it was nogea, the question of the holacha, which we're about to have, kibel hakosher v'natan lepasul, that in the event that he handed the dam to someone who was pasul, so that was dependent on the machlokas about whether holocha shelo beregel is called holocha. We might have to learn that he was extending it in the direction away from the mizbeach, so that there would not be a problem of the holocha shelo beregel. Or it might be talking about if you hold it slav shma holocha in the original sense, then it could be talking even in the direction of the mizbeach. In any event, whatever we deal with that problem of the psulim halacha, let's talk about the Kabbalah. So if the Kabbalah was done by a kohen kosher and he handed over to someone who is pasul, then yachzir lekasher, he could simply hand it back, and you don't have to go ahead and be mekabel nudam. You could just do the halacha now with the kosher. Let's say that he was mekabel with his right hand properly, and he put it into his left hand. There's no psul of standing there with your left hand. There's only a psul of doing the aveda of the kuna in your left hand. So just put it back in your right hand. Let's say it was mekabel in a kli kodesh, and then he poured it into a kli chol. That's not a psul. I mean, of course, you can't do the rest of the aveda from a kli chol, but you could put it back into the kli kodesh and start over from where you would put it into the kli chol. Even if it was mekubel in the kli, and then it fell out of the kli onto the floor, remember, if the kohen will be able to gather up the dam, it would still be kosher, because once it was mekubel, then, as we saw earlier, it's not the same as the case that we had before, where it goes directly minat savara l'ritzpa. We're over there, it indeed is possible, and there's no way to make it kosher. You'll have to go back and be mekabel dam hanefesh if there is any. Now, how about if the problem is not in the person who does it, it's a problem in what you did? Suppose you had someone who was kosher, according to many of the shittas, Rashi learns that this is a continuation in which the person who was posel was natano agabe hakevesh, or shalok neged hayesod. So you remember all of these cases where the dam was put on the wrong place. It was put on the kevesh, which of course is not really on the mizbeach. It may have the din in certain ways of the mizbeach, but it certainly is not, no dam is meant to be put on the kevesh, or you put it on the mizbeach, but you put it on the part of the mizbeach where the dam is not going to be going down to the yesod. And as we said before, the entire southern part, except for the southwest corner, and the entire eastern, except for the northeast corner, did not have yesod. So you did not put dam there. You put it only on the corners that did have. Nishbach min akli. Nitano ala kevesh natan etanitanim lemata lemala. Or tanitanim lamala lamata. Remember the chuta sikra that perfectly divided the mizbeach into damim that belonged above, and remember the way to remember that. And that is that the olat, of, both are up. So ola means up, and of means to fly. So the olata of is above the chuta sikra, but the chatas of is lamata mi chuta sikra. And the inverse is true of the behema. The olata behema is lamata mi chuta sikra, and the olat, the chatat behema, is lemala mechut hasikra. As a matter of fact, the chatat behema has to be put on the kronot hamizbeach, which is way above the chut hasikra. Suppose he put the nitanim bifnim bachut, so the nitanim bachut's bifnim. So here too, as long as there's some dam hanefesh left, yachzor hakasher v'yikabel, and you can then do it again, because you did not make it actually possible. So the question is, why exactly is it not possible? Either, so the way Rashi is learning, it's no gather shaila whether shalom b'makomo k'makomo or not, right? So that was the Shmuel discussion that we had before. If you hold shalom b'makomo k'makomo, so then the problem over here is that it was a person who was possible but didn't put it there, that put it there and didn't have a right to, and therefore you can redo it. But if you hold that shalom b'makomo is not kimikomo, so then it's as if the dam was never put on the mizbeach. That was Rashi's shita before and Rashi's shita here. So let's move on to the Gemara. The Gemara points out, as it always does, when the Mishnah uses a word that has the implications of something only being bidi avad. So if it were done this way, it would be kosher. Well, that's what it says over here. Shishochato means if they did it, but apparently it would mean that a posel kohen or a czar or an ish or any of the people that we spoke about would lechatchila not be allowed to do the shkita. Is that true? That it's only diavad in but lechatchila though? What about the brayta that says v'shachat means shkita bizar is ksheira? Shar shkita ksheira bizarim. And there's no indication of any limitation to Kohanim, and it would be kosher with Nashim, Avadim, Temeim, Vafilu B'Kodshe Kodshim. And the Braita speaks out the possibility that you might think it's supposed to be B'Kohanim, Oena ela bekonim? Well, where the heck would you come to say that? V'chimi ayin bata. What would give you the right to even suggest that? It doesn't say anything about Kohanim. Well, it does make a general statement to Aharon HaKohen, and it says, V'atahu v'necha yitcha tishmuru et kuhunatchem l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach. So that's mashma, that anything that is important for the Mizbeach, which would include the Shechita, requires a Kohen. Maybe, therefore, the Diak in the Braita is indeed only B'diavad, asks the Braita on itself? No. Because you might think that halacha that Kohanim are supposed to be Shomer the Kuna applies to Shechita. Yochel af b'Shechita, Talmud lomar v'shachatet ben ha-bakar lifnei Hashem, v'hikrivu, what's the follow-up? Then, v'hikrivu ha-Kohanim, at what point do the Kohanim get there? Hikrivu b'nei Aharon ha-Kohanim et Adam. It's only from that point on, and that akrav, of course, was Kabbalah, as we were daik earlier, which means that the Pasuk is going out of its way to say, keep the Kohanim out of here until we're up to the point of Ikrivu et Adam. Which means that it's perfectly acceptable, we even expect that the Bialim would shecht his own Kohen Pesach, Korban Pesach, and so on. This Pasuk teaches us that only Mikabola ve'elech, mitzvat keuna, but not in the Shechita, which tells me limeid ala Shechita, that it's kshera b'chol adam, even l'chatchila. So why does our Mishnah say sheshochatu, which is not true? It should say kol apsulim shochatim. Well, the truth is that, yes, you're right. Hu adinafilu l'chatchila nami. Of course Shechita is kosher l'chatchila. However, one of the cases that the Tana wanted to speak out in our Mishnah was the case of the Tamei. Well, we're nervous about that case, because we do not want Tmeim shechting lechatchila. So therefore, Mishum dekobay l'misnei Tmeim, we're there lechatchila lo, because the Chachomim made a gezera. If we allow Tmeim to shecht, they may make the mistake of actually coming into contact with the basar of the korban, which would then pasul it. And because the only way that this could be done is the unusual circumstances of taking a long knife, standing outside, not getting near the basar, that would be mekabel tumah after Shechita. Because of that, we use the word bidiavad, meaning sheshachatu, that it was already done. We used it on all of the cases. But the truth is that if not for that case of tumah, then there would be no reason to avoid Shechita with any of the other psoim. So I'm not quite certain I understand. You're telling me that a tamei is actually kosher if he did it b'diavad, but how about this? Take a look at this braita, which says not like that. Because remember that the Torah puts together in two psukim, v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola, and that's followed immediately with the pasuk v'shachat et ben ha-bakar lifnei Hashem. So if that's the case, that's the same pasuk, by the way, that we just said, v'shachat v'ikrivu b'nei Aharon ha-Kohanim. So that was the shachat that it's referring to here in our discussion. And it comes mechuber to the pasuk of v'samach yado al rosh ha'olah. So that tells us that just like smicha has to be done b'tohorim. Now, how do we know that smicha has to be done b'tohorim? Because the smicha has to be done lifnei Hashem, as we're going to show. So if the smicha has to be done b'torim, then the fact that the Torah puts together the shechita with the smicha means that the shechita must also be done b'torim, which sounds like it's an absolute requirement for shechita. And our Mishnah says that, no, we're just worried, min rabbanan, because you may touch accidentally the basar, but actually there's no problem in the shechita. Here, we're making it a function of the pasuk's combination of smicha to shechita. No, the truth is that midrabanan, yes, it's true, and midrabanan is actually the Mishnah and the Braita. Even though the Braita sounded like it was actually learning it out from the pasuk, it was really just being semech, our gezeira drabanan, on that pasuk. But the truth is, if a tamei would be shechet, bidi avad, it's absolutely kosher. So then, why are you so sure? I'm a little confused. That this Braita said that because smicha and shchita are put together, therefore the smicha has to be b'tahorim. And therefore, I mean, I thought it meant, and therefore the shchita also has to be b'tahorim. Why are you so sure that the smicha has to be b'tahorim? Isn't that because it says lifnei Hashem? But the lifnei Hashem that it says there is said by the shchita, which we're running out to the smicha, and therefore the shchita nami is obviously lifnei Hashem. I mean, read the psukim again. V'samach yado al rosh ha'olav v'nirtzel al ha'chaper olav. Nothing about lifnei Hashem, and this is continuing into the next words. V'shachat et ben ha'bakar lifnei Hashem. So I mean, this is something of an absurdity. We're going to use the lifnei Hashem on the posik of shchita to define the smicha, which is then going to tell us, that's what you thought, is then going to tell us that the smicha has to be b'tahorim, because you can't be lifnei Hashem if you're not tahor, and therefore the shchita has to be b'tahorim. Okay. So, amim aman avshach, if the words lifnei Hashem, which actually occurs in the second posik, which is the posik b'gabi shchita, applies to the smicha, so then why the heck wouldn't it apply to the shchita itself? Shchita nami, aktiv lifnei Hashem. So how can a person who's tummy be lifnei Hashem? Well, what do you mean? He could take a long knife. What's the problem? And even if it's betzafein, and even if you hold it, betzafein is only the area that's all the way, like we had our three shitas, it's all the way connected to the actual mizbeach. So you take a 100-foot long knife. I mean, I don't know, but it's certainly possible. Then efshed avit sakin aruka v'shachit. Well, can't you do the same thing for smicha? I mean, what you could do is you could bring the korban very close to the entryway into the azara. You could put your hands, just your hands, not the rest of your body, so it would only be not a rove that would come in. Put your hands into the azara and be somech without walking into the azara. So isn't that the same thing as using a long knife? No, because the Tana, this is Agavi is hiding again. This is terrible. I can never be sure that you're writing down these rules, Mr. Gavi. And this is a very important Gavi Yesod. Bia b'miksat, and then in brackets, lav, end brackets, shmo bia. Question over here is the machlokas about whether a partial entry, so over here you only put your hands in, and it was not a rove, is that considered to be usur if you're tame, and it's considered to be an actual knis to lemigdash, and you would be chay of chorus if you did that. So if the Tana holds it, bia b'miksat shma bia, how in the world could you put your hands into the azara and lean on the carbon, which is part of smicha? I mean, it's, the whole thing is impossible. You're not allowed to bring your hands into the azara. So therefore, we do it in this direction. The smicha, there's no way to do it by extension, because you can't extend your hands. But the shchita, there is a way to do it by extension, because you could use a long knife, or for that matter, use a long krumis shel kana, which is not a knife and is not even going to be mekabel tumah from you. Anyway, now, interestingly enough, because of this confusion, as the pasuk is talking about lifnei Hashem specifically in the second pasuk, which is the one that mentions the shchita. So Rav Chisda actually said over the Braita in the opposite direction. And what he said was that the first pasuk says v'samach, and the pasuk afterwards says v'shachat. And since the v'shachat is lifnei Hashem, so just like shchita needs to be done if the person is tahor, that means that smicha can only be done if the person is tahor. Okay, and in this version, we didn't understand it either, because why are you telling me that shchita has to be tahor? Because it says lifnei Hashem, and therefore if he's tameh, he would have no way to do the shchita, but wouldn't that also be true about the smicha nami? It says lifnei Hashem because it directly leads into that pasuk. So why do I need to compare it to the din of shchita? No, you see, because this is a mirror image of the previous way we had it. Somebody who is tamei he could always just put his hands into the Azora and do the Smicha. But somebody who is Tameh can't do the Shrita. What? Why not? Couldn't he do the Shrita with a long knife? Efshar d'Rabbi Tzadkin Aruch of a Shrita. This is fascinating. It's literally a mirror image of the first approach, right? Over here we're learning the Smicha. Instead of learning the din of the Shrita from the Smicha, we go directly from the Smicha to the Shrita, and we say that there is no problem of putting your hands in, and that Bia b'mikzas lavshma Bia, and yet there is a problem of using the Sakin Arucha. How does that figure? Why not? Couldn't you be Efshar d'Rabbi Tzadkin Aruch v'shachit? Ah, but this is going according to Shimon HaTimni. And Shimon HaTimni was Davka, the one who held that it's not only the behema that needs to be in the Azora, it's the Shochet who needs to be in the Azora. Here's the Braita, the relevant Braita. V'shachat et ben habakar lifnei Hashem, which implies the ben habakar has to be lifnei Hashem. But the Shochet doesn't need to be lifnei Hashem. V'lo ha-shochet lifnei Hashem. And that was the source, the Tanakama, of our assumption that you could make a long knife. Who cares where you are standing, as long as the act of Shchita was done lifnei Hashem, which is in the Azora. Whereas Shimon HaTimni says, no, actually, minayin sheyu yadav shel ha-shochet lifnim min ha-nishchat. How do we know that the Shochet has to be more deeply in the Azora than the actual behema is? In other words, he has to be closer to the Heichal. That means that there's no way that he could be outside. And therefore, since it says, Tamud Omar, Vishachat et ben habakar lifnei Hashem, that implies that the Vishachat, who is doing the Shechita, cannot stand outside. He has to be lifnei Hashem, and he should be there doing the shechita of the ben habakar lifnei Hashem. So according to Rav Chisda, we have the opposite vision in every way, and it's going alib Shimon HaTimni. The question of whether or not bia b'mikzas shma bia is actually a machlokas that shows up in many places. So let's take a look at one of the locations, which is a Machlokas Amoraim, where Ula quotes Rish Lakish as saying, a Tomei, who was Machnis Yodo Lifnim, all he did was be of a Mitzas, he just put his hand into the Azora, he is Chayev Malkas, because he was over on being Mitame Migdash. And since it says, there's both a mitzvah zaseh, yishalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzorua v'chozav, and there's a mitzvah lo taseh, v'lo yitamu et machanehem. That means that if you actively are metame the machaneh, you're going to cry malchus. And I'll show you from the pasuk that this is true. Because remember that a woman who had a child, a yoledes, so until she is completely tahora after bringing her korban of Mechusar Kippurim, it says, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga, it puts together two Isurim. It mentions, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga, Ve'el HaMikdash Lo Tavo. So first of all, it's Osir to be Metame, the Bosar of Kachim. And it's also usher for her to come in. Now consider the comparison of those two things, because they're really very different. When you touch something, any little bit that you touched is metame the entire piece that you touch, right? Tuma is not conveyed to the specific area that the dover tame, your finger, or the sheretz touches. Whatever the object is, the entire object becomes tame. Well, if the pasuk is comparing knisa l'migdash to negia, then it's telling me that makish bia l'negia. Just like negia b'miktsas is obviously negia. I mean, you don't have to completely wrap yourself around something to be metame it. So too, bia b'miktsas ishma bia. Now, this is a little bit of complicated enough for us to just point out the dinim that we're going to be speaking of, just to remind you. So first of all, as we saw throughout the Masechet, the din of the Tamei being allowed to bring a lechatchila, a korban in a state of tuma, is true if it's a Pesach and it's tumas meis. So a korban sibur, that was the marker, was specifically mutter for tumas meis, but as we saw before, not for zavim. So, okay, that's item number one to remember. Item number two to remember is that a mitzora, when he brings his korbanos of tyra after the whole process of bringing the tziporim, and he has to wait until the eighth day, and then he's able to bring his korban, which includes the special asham mitzora. Now, that asham mitzora is brought together with the lug shemen of the mitzora, and the kohen has to sprinkle the dam of the asham and the lug shemen. He has to sprinkle on the thumb and the toe, right thumb, right toe, and right ear. We had before, remember, we compare ozen, ozen, ozen. We learn from mitzora is yaminis, and bohen, bohen is yaminis, fine. The next thing that we need to know is that, as we saw before, there is an iser for other types of tuma to come into the Har HaBayit, or into the area which would be the outside Azor, the Azor Sanashim, that area is considered to be more mekudash, and even though there's no din of shiluach from three machanais, remember the mitzera was not even allowed to be in Yerushalayim, but he is not allowed to come into, even after going through the whole first part of the process, he's not allowed to come into the Machane Shechina. So he cannot come all the way into the Azor. But he could go into the Har HaBayit. Now, there's one other halacha that we need to remember, which was, remember that guy Gavi that used to be here? So one of his rules was that we talked about whether a mechuser kipurim dezav is kizavdam. You remember that machlokas we had earlier? So when someone is a mechuser kipurim, or he is in a state of attenuated tuma, so he's now no longer tame the way that he was. So the question is, if he's not completely tar, does he still have the dinim of being usher to go in as if he were mamish tame or not? So here's the question. The mitzora has to get the blood and the shemen on his thumb. How does he get his thumb into the azara? We can't take out kachim from the azara, because then it would be nifsal immediately, biyotze, and that dam would no longer be dam kosher for being mitayah the mitzora, nor would the shemen. So he's got to stick his thumb in. Well, I thought he's not allowed to stick his thumb in. Well, obviously, if the Torah is making an exception, that this is the way that a mitzvah becomes tahar, so then it includes in that halacha the fact that the mitzvah would need to stick his thumb in, but just his thumb or just his toe, right? He doesn't go in because he's not allowed to go in. Now, there's a bit of a problem, because the thickness of the wall is such that he'd never be able to get his thumb in if he's standing outside the wall. It's wider than his body and hand is. So how is he going to stick in his thumb? Ah. So what we did was, in the entranceway to the Azara, and that entranceway, remember, goes through that famous Shar Nicanor. It was named after Nicanor because he was the one that nace happened with the gates that he had brought, and it followed him along in the sea all the way from Alexandria, and he was able to bring it up into Eretz Yisrael. So that inside, normally, the inside area of the gate is given the kedusha of the area into which it's entering. But the Shar Nicanor Bedafka was left out of the whole ceremony of bringing Kedusha to the Azara, because we wanted the Mitzora to be able to stand there, get all the way up to the line dividing the area of the Kedusha's Azara from the Kedusha of the Har HaBayit, And if he stood there, then all he would need to do would be to insert his hand or his foot or his ear. So there would be no need for him to go into the Azara and be over on the Isser of Lo Yatamut Machaneya. So now, everything seems to be very straightforward. This would have nothing to do with the question of Bia B'miksat Shma Bia. But let me give you a case where it absolutely does have everything to do with the question of Bia B'miksat Shma Bia. Let us imagine that this Mitzorah, who is about to bring his karbanas, he wakes up as a Baal Keri. Now he's got a problem. Even if he goes to the mikveh, he is still going to be a Tful Yom. And the Torah never gave the Tful Yom the right to go into the Azara. Now, remember that we learned before that the din of a Tful Yom being usher to go into the Azara was a Chiddush. And that was one of the new things that they had said, remember, Bifnei HaChatzer HaChadasha and the Shechitshu B'Advarim. Fine, maybe it's only Drabona. We'll be talking about that in the sugya. As you can see, a lot of the past issues are sort of coming together over here. But in any event, he ought to be usher, which, okay, so wait until tomorrow. The din of the Mitzorah bringing his carbon on the eighth day, it doesn't mean he has to bring it on the eighth day. He could bring it any time after he becomes tar on the eighth day. Ah, the problem is, what if today is Erev Pesach? And if he doesn't bring his carbon today, he's not going to be able to be Yotze his carbon Pesach. Because, I mean, he's in a position where he should have been able to become Tahar, and he cannot now be able to send his carbon Pesach. So he's going to lose out on that mitzvah. What's the din? So here we have a braita, which Rav Hoshaya asks on Ula. It says in the Brit as follows, if a Mitzorah's eighth day turns out to be Erev Pesach, and then as he was going to be bringing his carbon on that day, he becomes a Baal Keri, and he goes to the mikvah, v'taval. So now the problem is that if he waits until Erev Shemesh, if he waits until tonight, he's not going to be able to have his karma. So what does he do? Omru chachamim, afa pisha ein tful yom acher nichnas, even though it's usher for a regular tful yom who was a Baal Keri and he went to the mikveh, he's not allowed to go to enter into the Arabayit, but ze nichnas. This guy, he is allowed to go in. Why is that? Well, because, look, the mitzvah to bring a korban Pesach is the only, besides Bris Milah itself, the only mitzvah asay that if you don't keep that mitzvah asay, you're going to be chayev koris. There are only two mitzvot asay, which are chiyuve koris. And therefore, it's better that the esay sheyeshbo karet, which is not to bring your korban Pesach, that's like a very chomer mitzvah asay, and that should be docha just the asay, which is shiluach temein from the Har HaBayit. So that's a mitzvah asay. Send out any tamei from the bayit. Okay? So shiluach min hamachane, it's called. Called tamei. So it's better, the mitzvah that has koris is more chomer, and therefore will allow him to stay in the actual Harabayit, and that's not an issue of Kores. It's only an issue of Kores if there's a Knisa into the actual Machane Shechina, which is the first level of the Yud Aleph Amos, of the where you have the Yisrael's area, and then the next Yud Aleph Amos, that whole area. On the other side of Shaar Niknor, there it's an Isser Kores. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yochanan points out, look, it's not really a mitzvah asay, because as we said before, midiraisa, there's not even an asay. It's only Yehoshaphat that created this gezerah, like we learned before. ויעמוד יהושפט בקהל יהודה וירושלים בבית השם לפני החצר החדשה. Why would we call it a new chatzer? My chatzer החדשה, so as we learned before, שחידשו בדברים. And what was the chiddush that they had made to give it a higher level of kedusha on that day? Amru tfu yom al yikanes, even to the machana levia. The machana levia is the area of the Harabait, which includes this area of the Ezra Sanashim. So, okay, so then that means that there is no real mitzvah aseh d'oraisa. Okay, now getting back to the problem of what Ula said from Rav Hoshaya. You're claiming, Ula, that Bia B'miktas is considered to be a shem Bia. He's going to be putting his hands into the actual Machane Shechina, isn't he? And a Tful Yom that puts his hands into the Machane Shechina. Oh, no, that's already an Issacharis if you hold Bia B'miktas Shema Bia. So how do you explain this Braita? We're allowing a guy who's a Tful Yom to put his hands, which according to you is a Bia B'miktas Shema Bia, and be over on an Issacharis. I don't understand. So how do we allow him to do that? Yamit Bia B'miktas Shema Bia. How could he be Mayo Yadei B'Bilonais? Both now turn out to be an Issacharis. Not bringing the Korban Pesach as an Issacharis, and putting your thumbs into the Machane Shechina is an Issacharis. And this proves categorically that you are wrong. Because over here, how could we possibly allow a Tvul Yom to put, for all intents and purposes, walk in, because putting in his thumbs is the same, according to you, is an Issacharis. So how do you explain this, Braita? Says Ula to Rav Hoshaya, what do you mean, how do I explain the Braita? You yourself are basically explaining the Braita. I'm actually looking at this Braita. What did the Braita say? Mitunach. The word mitunach means from the load that you threw at me. I'm going to answer you from the very same load, meaning I'm going to take this Braita and show you that it proves me right. What does it say in this Braita? It says, even though no other Tful Yom would be allowed to do this, but in this particular case, where he's also a Mitzor, he's allowed to do that. Why do you think that's true? I'll tell you why it's true. Because since anyway, he needed to be over on that Isser, because the Torah said that he is allowed to stick in his thumbs, and not only allowed, he must stick in his thumbs if he's a Mitzor. And because of that, once the Torah said, well, do it, even though you're a mitzora. So, yivu talit tzarato, once he's allowed to do it for the tzarat, so then that meant that the Torah is essentially telling me that we're not makbid on his knisa. So, it's not that the bia b'miktas is not bia. On the contrary, the whole point of this braita is, bia b'miktas is bia. But since the Mitzora was told to do it anyway, that's precisely why the Baal Keri could also do it as a Tful Yom. Because once the Torah was Deiche the Isser and says, listen, buddy, you got to stick those thumbs in. So fine, whatever your situation is, you will have to do it anyway. So basically, you were already a Mitzora, right? Now you become a Baal Keri. As a Mitzora, the Torah says, you're supposed to stick your fingers in. Now, when you become a Baal Keri, are you more Tameh than you were before? No. You're exactly the same level of Tumah. The din of a Mitzora on Shmini Shiloh and a Tful Yom of a Baal Keri is exactly the same. So, Mimela, if you were already told that you were going to be putting your thumbs and your ear in there, so then it's telling you the same thing, that this is true. Even if you extend that tuma to a different shame, it's not more tuma; it's the same level of tuma. So basically, the Braita says Ula is a raya to me, because the Braita talks about the Mitzora who became a Baal Keri today, and that seems to be the whole point. That since you were supposed to go in today, and now you became a Baal Keri, so You've already been told to go in. Why would you become usher now by maintaining the same level of tuma? So the very load, the matunach, that you threw at me actually is a raya to me. And is it, therefore, I hold that the bright, if anything, is saying that bia b'mitzas is shma bia. So Rabbi Yosef says, all right, so then that would mean if he holds that once something was hutar for one purpose, it was hutar for another purpose, then that would mean, let's imagine a case where most of the tzibur are tamei bizav. Now remember, there's no din of bringing a carbon tzibur bezivas. There's only a din of bringing a carbon tzibur betumes meis. So suppose it's Erev Pesach, and most of the tzibur were zavim, and all of a sudden, they all become tmei meitim. Let's say the nasi died, and they all went to go to the funeral, and they became tmei meisim. So now you have rov of the tzibur, or tmei meisim. So according to Ula, we would say that they're allowed to now actually bring a carbon Pesach betuma. Why? Because since the Torah says for your carbon Pesach, you were allowed to bring it betumas meis, so therefore you would be allowed to bring it if you were a Zav who is a tamei meis. Nah, says Abaye, it's not the same at all. The argument that I was making was that you started off as a mitzora, and you were allowed to be putting your hands in as a mitzora. And therefore, the argument was, if now, in addition to being a mitzora, you're also a bakeri, so then you don't aser something that was hutar before, where there's no additional tuma. But in this case, it's the opposite. In this case, it started with an iser of zivas, which meant that you were not allowed to be there. So how can you compare the cases? Me dummy. In your case, the tuma of the mace is the only thing that was mutar. But what took off the iser of the tuma of zivas, which came first? Nothing. So the zivas was not ishtaroi. And all Ula had said was, is that if you add something afterwards, when you were already mutar as a mitzora to go in, that's not a problem. And you're trying to extend it to the opposite case. It's illogical. Ula would, of course, would be mitar that in this case, it remains usher because of the tuma ziva. And there is no way to bring this carbon just because now you became more tamei. Does that make sense? You were less tamei, and now you're more tamei. So it's the opposite argument, don't you see? It's totally different. Maybe, says Abaye to Rav Yosef, maybe what you were trying to say was, we often find that, take out that Omar Lake, because it's not necessary. So often we find that Abaye tries to like rescue where somebody said something that doesn't make any sense. So maybe this is what you meant to say. Maybe what Rebbe was trying to say is if they started off as Tmei Meisim, and they were therefore going to bring on Erev Pesach, they were going to bring a Korban Pesach Petuma as a Tzibur. And then they became Zavim, that's what the case was. That then you could say, since originally, despite the fact that they were tamei with this tuma chamura, and nonetheless the Torah said to bring a carbon betuma, because tamei meis, we bring in the tzibur. So therefore, you could say that then if they became zavim on that day, it would be the same case as becoming a balkeri on the day that the mitzora was supposed to bring his carbon. And you could say that, oh, the Lutrula Tumatam, once the Torah said that you're allowed to bring a carbon Pesach for Tumas Meis, the fact that you added Tumas Zivas, that according to Ula should be okay. And we should say it's Lutrula Zivasa. And if Yosef said, yes, yes, that's exactly what I meant to say. Amale in. Of course, that's what I meant to say. Still, says Abaye, even if it's what you meant to say, it's no good. So at least you don't look like a total idiot, but it's still no good because it's not comparable. Why? Akati lo dami. Because mitzora is actually complete heter, correct? It's the Torah is telling you this is what you got to do. This is the way in which the mitzvah is originally set up. And therefore, the concept of tumah in Abia B'Mikzas simply doesn't exist here for the Metzorah, because this is the mitzvah, and that is Heter Gomer, Masha Inkein. So there, I could say, Ho V'Ishtri. Once Tuma, in terms of putting your hand in, is Mutter, it doesn't matter which Tuma it is, because the Torah canceled the laws of Tuma in terms of Bia B'Mikzas for a Metzorah. So it doesn't matter what other Tuma is there. But when you're talking about the Tuma of a Tzibur, that all of them are Tumei Meit, the halacha over there is not that there's no din of Tuma at all. It actually is relying on the Tzitz to be Meratzeh. But it's really usher to do this, except that it's doche, the tzorach of the Korban Pesach is doche the tuma. Now, there's a big difference between tuma dechuya betzibur and tuma hutra betzibur, both of which require a magic white wand, but not while you're driving. And therefore, we need to recognize that difference. Truth is, it's a machlokas, as we'll see later on. But if you're talking about Tuma only being dechuya betzibur, so then it's only going to be dochui for whatever it's dochui. Dochui means, as Rashi points out, the Torah was reluctant to allow this. It really is a violation, but okay, it's worth it. But that doesn't mean that something else is going to be dochui, and therefore I say, it's all very nice to talk about the case of the Metzora, according to Ula, where the dinim of Tuma have been completely canceled, and this is the Iker Mitzvah, as opposed to a case where we're allowing you to bring the Korban Betuma. So you cannot argue, well, you allowed me to bring it Betumas Meis, so you should also allow me to bring it with the additional Tuma Ziva. That doesn't follow. Whereas Rava says, excuse me, I think Rabbi Yosef is right, he says to Abaye. I think, actually, just the opposite. I would say Adarabba. Ipcha Mistabra, it's more Mistabra that when you're talking about Heter, that the Heter does not extend to anything else than what the Heter was given for. Mashenken, if you're doing a Dihui and you're doing something reluctantly, then you're telling me that I want to get this done, come hell or high water. So I would say, on the contrary, Ibcha Mistava. The Mitzorah is the case where the Etzem Mitzvah of the Tzaras includes the din of there not being an Isser Tuma to put your hands into the Bachan HaShchinah. So it's only canceled for the particular Mitzvah, meaning the Tzaras. Laha Yishtara, for putting your hands in, yes, but why would that extend for anything beyond that? Why would it extend to a Balkari? It has nothing to do with it. And Masha Einkein, where you're going to be pushing aside an Isser, reluctantly. So Tuma, once you're pushing aside the Isser, I mean, look, if you're doing the wrong thing and nonetheless it has to be done, who cares whether you're pushing it aside for one thing, you're pushing it aside for 20 things. The bottom line is, you're going to be doing the wrong thing for the right reason. So, Adarabba, I think, actually, that Rabbi Yosef makes more sense than your argument, and that from Ula, it would imply that Alibet Rabbi Hoshaya, the din actually would be, that the additional Isser of the Zivas would be included more in the area of the Tumas Meis de Zivas than it would be in the case of the Tzaras de the Keri. But anyway, nobody argued back and forth about whether that's true. In other words, Abaya accepted Rava's approach. He didn't say to Rava, you're crazy. Tuma isn't Chuya Betzibur, Tuma is Hutra Betzibur. He didn't say that. So essentially, both of them, both Abaya and Rava, agree, as we could see from this conversation, Michlal de Tarvayu Svirlahu, Tuma is not really Mutter Betzibur, Tuma is only de Chuya Betzibur. So, I mean, this has got a lot of dinim that make all the difference in the world in the difference between Tchuya and Hutra. I mean, is there any reason for us to attempt, if we have a Tzibur, is there a reason for us to attempt to find Kohanim that are tiring? Or is it basically there's no Isra of Tuma at all? And there are many, many nafkaminas between these two. So this is not just a theoretical discussion. It has immediate applications in the Gemara, which, Bezrat Hashem, we will learn tomorrow. Wonderful, gentlemen.